Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Lab Tech with everyone's favorite CTO, Chandru, and myself, Adam Chorley. Today, we're going to speak to you about validators. It's a crucial part of the Alchemy ecosystem and one that we talk about a lot without necessarily explaining the intricacies of it and letting you know what they do, why they're important, how to join the new validators queue, etc., etc. So without further ado, we'll get started and we'll maybe go into a bit of a background about why Alchemy has validators. Do you want to start us off, Chandru?
Sure. Validators are any processing units that validate transactions. They are an essential part of every blockchain. In the case of Alchemy, validators play a crucial role in making our ad exchange decentralized. The validators are what make the whole network sustainable and decentralized, thereby providing trust, auditability, making sure that the supply chain is as efficient as possible, and thereby cutting down on any carbon emissions. So they are very, very essential, at least for Alchemy.
Yeah, so they essentially have to be quite low latency, as you mentioned. So it's because the transaction within a programmatic auction happens within like 2/1000th of a second. We have to have a very quick transaction speed, but then we have a bit longer to actually write those transactions to the blockchain, don't we? So essentially, those validators are helping us make sure that everybody can see everything that's happened, but also that all of those transactions are actually being put on the blockchain and auditable by everyone.
Absolutely. So the way we have built it is that these validators are validating every ad impression that goes through our system. And the consensus logic that is used to validate these transactions is getting more complex day by day. We started off with validating the authenticity of the ad auctions, but now we have multiple layers of complexity built into that custom consensus mechanism. And that can grow as the network grows, as the number of partners grow, as we receive feedback from different partners. It could become as complicated as determining the relevance of an ad to a particular content type or a user. There are various things that we can build into the consensus mechanism, but then comes the whole balance between how much of time it takes for us to validate an ad impression in that consensus mechanism and how much of processing power is required. So there is a lot of balancing act that we have to take care about when we are dealing with validators.
That's nice. So, and what is it that is actually being committed to the blockchain? So we always talk about OpenRTB. That is a kind of industry-wide standard. So that's what helps us be interoperable with everybody else. But what is the actual piece of information that we're putting onto both the database and onto the blockchain?
Oh, okay. That's an interesting one, actually, because not only are we... So there are various pulls in this. Number one is the need to be decentralized, thereby bringing down costs, thereby making sure that the supply chain is more optimized, thereby providing transparency and auditability. So all of these come with the decentralized nature of blockchain. That's on the one hand. But on the other hand, we also have to balance compliance to regulation, where we are not allowed to put in anything that is classified as PII data on the blockchain, because it is viewable by everybody. Also, what we cannot put on the blockchain is any sensitive or confidential data that our publishers or media agency partners would think is not right to be viewable by everybody else. So these sensitive, confidential, personally identifiable information, all of the information that falls under these categories are stored off the chain on our centralized database. But what we do is that we need to ensure that this data that is not on the chain is equally auditable. So once the transactions have been validated, a copy of it is sent to the centralized database, while the hashed values of that data set that is sent to the centralized database is captured on the chain. So what is on the chain is a shorter version of all of the data that we hold. That data that is captured on the chain, as you see on the Ads Explorer, is non-confidential, non-PII data that is still holding a lot of value for publishers, media agencies, the community members, and the public at large, because that will allow us to get information that people have not had access to before, while also by capturing the hash values of all of the off-chain data on the chain, we are providing auditability feature for any off-chain data sets and thereby any business intelligence reports that are generated using that off-chain data.
Nice. So it kind of works as almost a way to find data and also access it once it's put onto that database, sort of like an index kind of thing.
Absolutely. And we are also in the process of providing API access to the Ads Explorer. And we already have API access to data that is held outside of the, which is off the chain. And we also have the ability to tie the two together. So when data is retrieved by the publishers or by the media agencies, an automatic check is made to see if the hash value that is stored on the chain matches with the hash value generated by the data set on the chain. So that is then sent to the publishers or the media agencies or used to generate more intelligent business intelligence reports.
Nice. Without wanting to start talking too much about the sort of future applications and what we might be developing on the validator side, because there's quite a lot of advancements that we can make that we have already made that we will make in the future. So I'll avoid going down that rabbit hole because Millie's giving me the eyes. So we'll move on to what do people need to be a validator. So there's the obvious one, which is the collateral. We did make changes to that. Originally we had two different types of nodes, now we have one type of node, so there is only one collateral requirement, which is 50,000 ADS tokens. But other than that, what are the other things that people need to do in order to be ready to become a validator once we do open it out?
Well, the first thing that I would recommend people to do is to go up to Alchemy Labs, sign up for an account, and KYC. So once you've completed the KYC, you're halfway there, right? So once you have been registered and KYC'd, you will then be able to connect your wallet onto Alchemy Labs and pay the collateral and mint an NFT that is a receipt for your validator. Once you have minted that NFT, the NFT will be activated, and this will be done based on the activation cycles that we have. We are not going to activate all the NFTs as they are minted, but it will be done in batches. So once the NFT is activated, you can then spin up your cloud instance or any processing unit that you intend to use as your validator, and then tie that with the wallet that holds the NFT, and you're then added to the network and you're ready to start validating transactions and collecting rewards.
Yeah, one thing I'll probably want to pick up on that is that a lot of people always ask why they have to KYC for the platform. And whilst we are decentralized, we're not necessarily fully DeFi. And I think that it's quite easy for people to kind of get lost in the decentralization element. There is a decentralization comes in many, many guises. And some centralization is important for adoption. In our example, it's very important that our clients know who the person is running those validators and who is getting those rewards. Obviously, people from sanctioned countries, for example, are not eligible to join the platform. And our counterparties would also not want to be involved with people who may have links to, you know, anything, crime, whatever it might be. So there is really an element to do the KYC to also have that AML protection and also make sure that our clients are happy that, you know, people they don't know who are necessarily direct counterparty of theirs who are gaining some of those rewards. So they're actually like happy that, you know, we vetted them in the first instance. I think people can sometimes get a bit too into the decentralization and maybe kind of forget that, you know, running real world businesses, there are still regulations that people need to actually adhere to.
That's very true, I'm sure. In fact, there are multiple uses for validators, which we may have touched upon previously, but I'll reiterate here. Is number one, it can be used in the Alchemy ecosystem to validate the ad impressions that we are delivering. Number two, we can actually use them as decentralized processing units. And these decentralized processing units can be used to run any application that is designed to run decentrally. And that can be for any client or partner that we work with. Like, for example, there may be some publishing houses which run pre-bid servers. And there is always a potential for us to run those pre-bid servers decentrally using our network of validators. So it's not validating transactions, but it's acting as a decentralized processing network. That's the second application. The third is where these units are then managed by, let's say, an intermediary who then has a B2B relationship with another partner and a relationship with each of these users who provide these validators. And then they can then use that to run any processing that involves confidential data. Since they are acting as a trusted intermediary, they are then bound by certain rules of SLAs and contracts and NDAs and data sharing agreements, which can then give the confidence to the end customer. And KYC goes a long way in building that trust, in actually expanding the existing network to be used not only to validate ad impressions, but also to be used as decentralized processing units and to run any confidential or sensitive processing that is required by any of our partners.
Yeah, and I always think it's quite interesting because you can use consensus mechanisms, smart contracts, blockchains to actually enforce things that are in contracts, which right now is generally done by humans and also prone to human error. I think a lot of the time people get a contract, they sign it and they never look at it again. And then when it comes, they only look at it when there's some sort of dispute that happens. And it means that a lot of the time best practices aren't put in place to like make sure that those contracts are being adhered to. So actually by using kind of consensus mechanisms, blockchains and alike, you can actually enforce the contract at the point of sale. Exactly. Which is quite rare, I always think.
Absolutely. And we also have Discord channels that the validators can join. And the Discord channels are designed to provide all sorts of support that users may need in order to exchange their collateral for an NFT. If they have any questions about activation of NFTs, if they have any questions about how to set up their cloud instance. So we are doing a lot of work behind the scenes in order to automate that as much as possible. We are building bots that can be integrated into Discord, which will help answer people's queries and try and provide the right kind of support that they need. So once people have exchanged their collateral to NFTs, the next thing to do would be to sign up and go and use one of these Discord channels to keep abreast of all the information and if they have any support requests as well.
Yeah, and there is also the Validators Ready group on Discord, which allows people to kind of speak to each other about what, you know, get excited about being a validator. And kind of all the intricacies that people already know, they can ask questions in there and learn a bit more about it. So as part of that kind of starting to get onboarded process with things like being in the Discord channels, having KYC done, all of that admin that they need to do in order to get ready to become a validator, there is also the rewards estimator. So I know we Yes. did touch on that in the last Lab Tech, but do you want to sort of talk about a little bit about that and what it allows people to do?
Absolutely. So the reward estimator is estimator. It is as good as the inputs that we feed them, and we will strive to provide as much information and input that we can to the community. So that said, the reward estimator is designed help people make a decision on whether to become a validator or a liquidity provider. So by using the information that the user has input into the reward estimator, we provide an estimate of what the validator APY is going to be, what the validator rewards are likely to be. And we will also estimate the APY that the liquidity provider, the LP, is likely to make as well. So that's the intention of the reward estimator, to enable people to make that decision before they take the step of providing collateral and minting their NFT or providing liquidity to the balancer pool that we have.
Yeah, I think the way to think about it is that they already know how many rewards are going to be in that quarter. There'll be a live figure of how many validators there currently are, so they can find out whether it's actually going to, you know, be break even, or are they going to make loads of fee rewards, whatever it might be. They have the power to actually kind of test that out in a calculator and work out whether it's going to be worthwhile for them to do it. Obviously, that's a question that comes up quite a lot, is people always asking, you know, what are the current APYs like? Am I guaranteed to make money and all that kind of thing? It's like, those are not things that we're able to sort of guarantee, because otherwise it would be a security, and it's known as a dividend. But what we're doing is actually offering rewards for stuff that is actually taking place on the network and for people offering some sort of service to the network. So, you know, if there is a case where we get 1,000 validators, which would be amazing, but say that the rewards don't make it viable for people to run those validators, there will be a kind of self-regulating aspect to it. We're not going to be restricting the numbers as we kind of previously have. We're actually opening it out and letting kind of capitalism decide, and people can vote with their feet. There is always the liquidity pool that people can also be part of. So there's multiple options for people, and it really is up to them to decide that. It's not for us to decide what is a good number of rewards for somebody to be getting, especially with the kind of the cost of the collateral and the actual VPS fees as well. So, you know, somebody might be happy making 5 ADS tokens as reward. Somebody might, you know, think that they need to get 5,000. So that's really a decision for people to make on their own, and that that allows people to do that with all the knowledge at their fingertips, as it were.
Absolutely. There are two very important points here. One is, we provide people with the tools and the information to be able to make an informed decision. That's number one. That's what Reward Estimator provides, the ability to make an informed decision. Number two is, we don't want to be regulating the network in terms of who can or cannot join. We want to make it as decentralized as possible and make sure that it is self-regulating. The network itself is self-regulating, where people are able to determine what their risk-reward ratio is and at what point it makes sense for them to be part of the network and at what point they would want to take a step back and probably put their tokens in the liquidity pool. So that decision is very subjective. And we can enable people to make that decision, but not push people towards one or the other, or to prevent people from joining the network. So it should become a self-balancing, self-regulatory network once the network opens up and we allow everybody an equal chance to become part of that network.
Yeah, it kind of takes us quite nicely onto kind of the where we've come from in terms of validators. So obviously we spoke about the fact that there used to be a 2-tier system. It's now a 1-tier system. And as part of that, we've got 52 validators currently running. And there's, I think, 34 people as validators. So some people who had those more expensive ones decided to roll over into having more than one. But they've really been very crucial in us being able to test out new things, make sure that the transition and onboarding process is as smooth as possible for everybody. Once we open it out, obviously that's going to be a lot more people, and we needed to make sure that we really had the process down to as few steps as possible, but also that people had all the support they were going to need, and we could sort of learn what the questions might be in advance. I'm sure there's going to be a million new fringe use cases that we're going to have to think about, but making sure that everybody actually has everything they need, somebody to talk to when they don't have what they need. And yeah, they've been really great for that. They've really helped us to hone the process down, and they've been very flexible and always online as well to do those updates.
Absolutely. A huge applause to all of those current validators, because they have really helped grow that network, helped stabilize it, helped to support all the ad impressions that we are now passing through the network. So thank you very much, all of you. These are the people who would form that first cohort, which will then provide support, who will be involved in testing new features, who will form that core group. And we are in the process of making significant changes behind the scenes to reduce the operating cost of each of these validators. And these are the people that we will be reaching out to in the short term to try and test all of these new features, these optimizations that should then drive value throughout the system.
Yeah, so they're currently testing that out. I think when this goes out anyway. So it's currently around $100 to run that VPS, and it will probably be somewhere around a quarter of that.
Well, that's true. When we started, the cost of running a validator is very subjective. Again, it depends on the cloud service provider, whether you're running your validator on GCP or AWS or DigitalOcean or Vulture. There are a host of cloud service providers, or you can even run it on a spare laptop in your house, as long as you can keep it running, powered up, and connected to the network. So there are all sorts of different combinations of running a validator, and the cost of each is dependent on the kind of service that you're looking for. But having said that, what we wanted to do was to bring down the operating cost of each of these validators, A, to make it more accessible to anybody who wants to provide their processing bandwidth. And B, we also need to ensure that the network itself is more sustainable, where we are a real-world asset having a real-world utility. So we are not just taking tokens from the treasury and giving them away as rewards just to meet a certain APY. That will need to come from the transaction fees generated by the protocol. And the transaction fees is only so much every quarter, and that is going to be revealed to everybody. So with that given transaction fees from the protocol, we wanted to ensure that nobody loses money. And while that is just an endeavor, if we have a huge number of validators, it will become self-regulating. But we have to do everything we can to ensure that more number of people can join the network and start to support the network while at the same time being able to meet their operating cost. And this is work that we have taken up. This is work that is fairly complete and is in the process of internal testing. We will be rolling out these optimization and changes to the existing network of validators for them to test out and give us their feedback, following which we will then be rolling out these changes when the network opens to the community members.
Yeah, sorry, I should have caveated that. That's kind of the DigitalOcean, which is somewhere around the middle sort of cost, yes, thing, isn't right. It? Obviously, if you're running on AWS and GCP, good luck to you, but it'll be a bit more expensive. But yeah, it does also, I think, open up the possibility of one day having kind of light validators where people could even potentially run them on mobile phones and just kind of validate transactions for people in crowded areas.
Absolutely. That's the vision, where we want to be able to use a spare bandwidth on your phone or even a spare phone that you have, and like Pokemon Go, right, where you're looking for transactions to validate and collect rewards. So that's what our vision is.
Yeah, sort of reminds me of Pipernet from Silicon Valley, but I know you haven't seen that yet. So yeah, I think that rounds off quite nicely the update on validators. I know that it's a hot topic at the moment, and it's going to be rolling out over the next kind of few weeks, and September is destined to be validator month. So everybody kind of keep your eyes peeled. We're going to be kind of ramping up the messaging over the next few weeks. And once we get into September, it's going to be all systems go.
Absolutely. So thank you very much for all your support and love. And if you have any questions, please do send them our way. We'll try and get them answered. We endeavor to get all the information out to you so that you can make an informed decision. We're looking forward to expanding the network, getting everybody as part of the Alchemy network, and to yield farm the internet.
Yeah, so get yourselves into the Discord channel for validators ready, and make sure you've done all of the steps well in advance, just because it'll make life a lot easier. The KYC can sometimes be a bit slower due to block pass, but yeah, just make sure you have done all those steps and you're in that channel and you keep your eyes peeled. So see you all there soon.